So if you would like to turn there, Matthew chapter 16, we will finish this chapter next week. It's been a blessing to be able to go through it. It has tied in a bit with what we're looking at in the morning. And we're going to be looking at a question again this morning, and that is this afternoon, and that is, am I living for Christ? And in our text there, verses 24 and 25, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And we finished last week looking at the Lord's announcement, which was the first announcement of Calvary. That was the first announcement there. Jesus gave his indication, the first indication that he would die on a Roman cross. And it was a cruel death, a very cruel death. You know, people usually, they would sometimes just hang them there for days and days. They would go and break the legs of the people to heighten that death. And a picture of the crucifixion is, while they're hanging there, the whole weight of the top body just drops down upon your lungs, and you really struggle to breathe, and your arms are like they're being torn out of their sockets. A horrible, and that's the cruelest way anybody could die. And Jesus is indicating for the first time that he was going to die on that cross. And he'd been very careful, remember, to convince them first that he was indeed the Messiah promised, the promised one for them. And he started to prepare their hearts and their minds for the events that were to follow. And which was his final rejection at the hands of the authorities, and that he would be killed and be raised again the third day. And after his death, the disciples, and it's interesting, isn't it? If you look at them, they went back to their everyday life. They did. They went back to their everyday life. They went back to being fishermen and tax collectors, and they just went about life as it was before the Savior died. They didn't understand what was happening. See, they wanted a kingdom at that very moment. At the very present time, that's what they were after. Now, truly, if they had believed Jesus' words, don't you think they would have been at that tomb 3 days? He's told us he's going to go to that cross. That's exactly what happened. He would be killed. That's exactly what happened. He would be buried. That's exactly what happened. He's going to rise again the third day. Where are they? Where are they? They're going back to everyday life as if he's not going to rise again. He's not going to rise again. See, if they believed Jesus' words truly and surely, they must have been ready to 3 days. They would have camped out by the tomb. He's going to get up. He's not going to die. But no, as soon as he was buried, they just went back to everyday life. Everyday life. How eager should we be having this? The completed Word of God we look at every day. How eager should we be, knowing the times we live in, given the times, what it's going to be like just before the Lord comes, understanding, man, look at the world we live in today. Are we expecting him to come even before this message is finished? Are we ready, willing, and able to say, hang on, he's coming. We've got to do what we can before he turns up. But I think sometimes, and it's all of us, that we just go about everyday life as if he's not coming back according to his word. We live in a time today where mothers and daughters are at each other's throats like never before, where mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws fight and bicker like never before, where society is just running rampant in its immorality and its sensual activities like never before. In fact, the Word of God tells us this is how it's going to be just before the Lord comes. Or have we become a bit like the disciples and we're just going to go about everyday life? And, or are we eagerly awaiting and seeing, ready, willing and able to do what we can before he turns up? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now we need to understand these words here of the Lord were not being spoken to unbelievers. He's talking to his disciples. That's who he's talking to, his disciples. You know, the unbelievers are not asked by the Lord to deny themselves. They're not asked to take up his cross, and they're not asked to follow him. But when a person is born again, by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ, you know, salvation, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, giving up, denying self, taking up the cross. We have to remember, those things don't save. They're a part of a Christian life if a believer wants to follow Jesus. But they won't save you. That simple belief and receiving Christ as Savior is what saves a person. See, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believed on his name. But if a believer wants to follow Christ closely, then they will deny themselves. They will take up the cross. And they will follow him. You know, the disciples, they loved Christ. They had a great affection for him. And Jesus says, if any man will come after me. You see, if a believer truly wants to accompany or go with Jesus, walk with Jesus as a friend and a companion of his in the Christian journey, Jesus says, well, there's a couple of conditions that go along with that. It's like when we buy going on a holiday and we're going on an aeroplane. We get the ticket, we're on board, we're as good as getting there, but you just can't carry the whole wardrobe with you, can you? Many try to, but it won't do you any good. There's conditions to get on the plane. Now, many believers, they don't follow the Lord step by step. They don't walk the path lined out for them. And listen carefully, it is possible to be born again and yet still not follow Jesus step by step. And that there are many like that. See, their souls are saved. Their spirits will dwell eternally in glory, but there's no outward reward because it's about self. It's self-centeredness, concerned about the things of the world, not the things of Christ. They are saved, 1 Corinthians 3:15 tells us, but so as by fire. And Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, to deny oneself here means far more than just self-denial, the way we understand it in our usual sense of the word. When you look this word up, you'll see it means to utterly disown. In other words, to show an abstinence from things. Now, it's used in the same way when the Jews renounced or denied Jesus as the Messiah, Acts 3:14. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. In other words, they utterly disowned Christ, the Messiah. They kept away. They wouldn't agree with it. Now, the world looks on the godly principle of denying self as stupidity. Stupidity. You don't have to spend much time in town to see some people just push in line to get ahead of you. They won't line up behind you. They've got to push in line. When was the last time you've seen a young person on a bus or a train stand up to let an older person sit down? They'll push them out of the seat if they get the opportunity. The self-denial is not a part of today's world. C.T. Studd. I mentioned him a few times because it always, his life amazes me. He was looked on by a fool, by all his socialite contemporaries. Now, he had a whole lot of them. He was a famous sports star. He was the captain of the English cricket team. You know, that's way up there in the United Kingdom. Extremely rich, from a huge wealthy family. He was educated in the best schools of England and in London. He had everything that the world thinks people need. Just rich beyond compare. The fame and the fortune. And he gave the whole lot up to take the gospel to China. The whole lot. And from China, he took the gospel to India. And finally, he went to Sudan in the Congo of Africa, where he ended his journey on this earth. And today in the Congo, the tribes there, the influence of this man through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have his headstone there and they keep it tidy and neat because of what this man did for them by bringing the gospel to them. He gave it all up. He denied himself to go after Jesus and be his disciple. Now, he wrote the words, which you know, many know. The words were, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." They were his words. As I've looked at his life, he also wrote, "Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." Such was a man. Everything. Fame. Fortune. And the world says, "What a fool. What a fool." Now, if that's what the world says, then praise God for all those fools, so-called fools, down through time who have denied themselves, truly denied themselves for God. There'll be no smoke going up at their judgment seat, amen. They'll come forth as gold, silver, and precious stones. And a believer who determines to deny themselves is not going to allow self or selfish desires to rule or dictate to them the claims of this world. Now, a believer who denies him or herself determines in their heart not to live to their own ways or their own desires. Their desire, true desire, is to be so controlled by the Holy Spirit that whatever they say or whatever they do is said and done only to the glory of God. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, we know that, but they're special people. No, they're people just like you and me. You know, that's the command to the believer in God's word. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let's say it together. We all know it. You don't have to look it up. Whether therefore ye eat, say it with me, or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what? All to the glory of God. That covers everything. So you dear wives, as you're picking up your husband's t-shirt again off the ground, do it for the glory of God. Don't wrap it around his neck and try and strangle him with it. Do it for the glory of God. You see, a true disciple does not choose to do anything but to know and do the will of his master. See, the true disciple really has no... And I want you to listen to the true disciple has no right to make any sacrifice for Christ, listen carefully, which Christ has not appointed to them. You're saying, well, man, what do you mean? You know, when a man takes upon himself some effort of sacrifice just because he thinks it's the right thing to do, or she is thinking it's the right thing to do, they are just as much a stumbling block, an offence to their Lord, as those who aren't even denying themselves. Now, we have the answer to that, and the reason I said it in Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. You know, we're to surrender to him and let him lead us and guide us. And notice it says we are to take up his cross. Now, this does not mean that we should choose a cross or find a cross of our choosing, then take it up. And in actual fact, taking up his cross isn't the actual cross he went on, because only he could endure the pain and suffering of sin and dying for sin that was placed upon him. Only he could do that. But you can be rest assured that when a believer practices what is being taught here, practices true self-denial and is fully surrendered to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the cross for that believer to take up will appear. It'll come. You can guarantee it. Ours is then to take that cross willingly and follow Jesus. You know, a true disciple does not choose a nice, comfortable place to go to, a nice sunny place with good weather. Nice way of life, nice and comfortable. When we first went into the ministry, Deborah and I went from the Southern Highlands of New South Wales, which is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's like a piece of England put in Australia. Waterfalls, forests, it's just lovely. We went for a drive down to Goulburn, and we got to Goulburn. My wife said, I'll never live here. Exact words, is that right, my dear? I'll never live here. It was cold and miserable and old and run down. And 6 months later, we lived there for 23 years. Because the Lord said, that's where I want you to be. We had other opportunities in much better places, but we knew the Lord had laid on our hearts, this is where we had to go, and that's where we went. Now, many people living in ease sometimes go, well, you know, I wish I could have some suffering and sorrow. This seems too easy for me. But listen, if the Lord appoints a place of suffering or sorrow, then may we be willing to take it that way because it's his appointment. And if he doesn't appoint us a place like that, and he appoints us a place that may seem, oh, I wonder what other Christians are thinking about how well off I'm doing, then take it because it's his appointment. Psalm 118:23 said, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it." Now, we must be in his will if we are to cooperate him. You know, it's one thing to say, Lord willing, and a completely other to actually live and do it. You see, the path and program of a disciple is given to us at the end of the verse. It just says two words, follow me, follow me. And that word follow means to be in union with. And it's interesting because it comes from a word that means road. Isn't that interesting? So that means that as a true disciple, I'm traveling together in union with Christ on the road he has got for me to travel. And that's the way it's to be to a disciple of the Lord. Remember last week we looked at the must. Jesus said he must go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer at the hands of the authorities. He had to be killed and rise again. The must was necessary. The must was binding. And Jesus says, follow me. He's saying the must of my life is to be made the must of your life. Does that mean I have to suffer the way he did? Hey, we may suffer, we may not suffer so much. Because suffering is not the only deep thing of what the Lord is trying to say to us here. The deep thing here to understanding what the Lord is showing us here is I must be on board, in full agreement, unified, and cooperate completely with the purpose God has for me. No matter what that's going to be, and regardless of what I want to do. See, this is where they say the rubber meets the road. See, on the way to resurrection life, brothers and sisters, there's a ransom as well as a redemption. There will be some suffering, even death for some, but even they aren't the deepest thing. The deep thing is that we be in touch with God and do his will, follow him, be loyal subjects, whether it's tears or laughter, whether it's sorrow and sighing, because here is the reason of life. Jesus said, follow me. Now, Jesus left us the explanation clearly for us of a true disciple's life in verse 25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now the word for there takes us back to the truth or the motive. See, the Lord is passing from bodily life to spiritual life, from temporary to eternal. He also passes from the vital principle of the body, natural life, to the immortal or spiritual life. You see, the way to lose physical life is always trying to be saved. The way to lose mental life is always trying to avoid storms and emotional issues. And the way to lose spiritual life is to be always so worried about getting to heaven that the person never moves into line with God and the work God has for them. And this is important because self-seeking is always self-losing, always. And Jesus is warning his disciples here that, yes, to serve him properly, that there are dangers and there will be hardships. Many will be tempted. Many will surrender to shrinking away from the cross. Why? To save their lives. And they're being told that, you know, a cowardly unfaithfulness under persecution is not the way to save one's life. Or you may well avoid death, but by doing so, what is the use of a life saved at the cost of the honour and faithfulness to the Lord? What is it? It's a wasted life. It's a worthless life. It's a lost life. Now, those for Christ's sake are willing to lose creature comforts, those who seem, like C.T. Studd, to have lost all the treasures of the world, will find everything made up in the world to come. Nothing we give up in this world for the sake of Christ, for the sake of His glory or the sake of His honour, will ever be wasted. Ever, ever will it be a waste. Ever. And if a person who desires to save their temporal bodily life, and they're not going to lose their salvation, but man, they're going to watch their life, whole life, just go up in smoke with nothing left to offer. You know, what a waste to spend your life on this earth, you know, coming to church and doing things for the Lord and not doing them for the right reason. And I'll end with this. You know, self-pleasing ends in destruction. Self-denial and self-sacrifice are the pathway to life. Let's be more eager to lose ourselves rather than find ourselves. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. We thank You, Lord, for the simple principles that are here. And Father, may we just look deep into our own lives, each and every one of us, and just ask ourselves the question, what are we denying for You? And we thank You, Lord. We know in family life it can be difficult with children and the pressures of the world, but Lord, it's not all about everyone going off to the jungle. It's about denying self to raise a family the right way, to honour a marriage according to Your words, to live in the body You've placed us in for Your glory and honour. And we pray, Lord, that we would reflect on Your words to Your disciples and that we would just live for You, Father, for Your glory and for Your honour. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.